Okay, we're up to page Kuf Chaf Beis. We're up to the sugya of Mimareach. Yesterday we did Ibud, now up to the next sugya, Mimareach. Also, Limareach Retia V'chein Shava Zephes. Page Kuf Chaf Beis, Simen Pe Halacha Nunches. Noyach. Noyach.
Noyach is such.
Karabai said, let's learn Noyach. Can you spell Noyach with seven mistakes? Does anyone know how to spell Noyach with seven mistakes? Think about it. Noach with seven mistakes.
Think about it.
Endun. First, you have to have an endun. Okay, now, another time.
Okay,
also limareach retia v'chein shavas or zefes. A person is not allowed to smooth a wound, a compress, and a person. Furthermore, in other words, if you have some type of medicine underneath the wound, you want to smooth it on your flesh. That it's also v'chein shava. It is forbidden to smooth wax, soft wax, or zephis or pitch. Therefore, these three things are also, therefore, also litin shava shemen of benekev. Your person may not put wax or oil, thick oil, in a hole of sasmo to close up a hole. O ledabko, al eze double a simon, or to attach it to an item as a sign. Aval oichel mutu lemareach goim chema al alechem chodem, but you are allowed to smear butter on bread, and mustard and other things like that. You're allowed to smear them on, or icing on a cake. These things can be smeared. Now let's discuss, take a step back. He says over here a mouthful in one very short simile. There are many, many halachas. Now part of this halacha of Mimareach was already discussed back with regard to mud. In ancient times, people walked in mud streets. When you come home, your boots are full of mud. You don't walk into the home before you rub your feet along a bar. There were certain scraping bars that were put in the person's home in order to scrape off the mud before you come inside. So we learned this already back a couple of sips before. One may not do that on Shabbos if the scraping bar is very sharp, because you're not allowed to scrape leather on Shabbos. That really is the Av Melach. This whole idea of smoothing a gel, soap, wax, is a tolada of scraping skin, mimareach. Let's take a step back. In the Mishkan, all the melachas are derived from the Mishkan. The Mishkan, when they tanned, when they prepared hides for the covering of the Mishkan, they would scrape them. They would soak it in lime, and by soaking the lime, it would preserve it, and it would soften it. They would then take a metal instrument and scrape the leather on both sides to make it smooth. Okay, that is called mimareach. That is the melacha deraisa, to take leather and to smooth the leather. Now, leather by nature is hard. And when you're smoothing, when you're scraping off some type of residue, or so hairs, or things which are soft little things on top of the hard leather. From this we learn, at any time you take an item which is similar to leather, which means that it is hard, and you smooth it, it is the melacha deraisa called mimareach. For example, if you, a person would, or on Shabbos, take a piece of wood and take sandpaper and sand and smooth the wood, that's a melacha deoraisa. If you, leather, hard leather, coming home out of the mud and scraping it very hard with a piece of metal in order to actually remove the mud or remove any mud that has hardened, that's formed a crust, and now it's going to be smooth, would be a melacha deoraisa of mimareach. Period. Now, what happens if the item is not hard? It's soft. For example, you have a bar of soap that's been soaking in water. You know, you have a bar of soap, and the bottom of the bar of soap is soaking in water, and you turn it upside down. So now that top part of the bar of soap, it's like gel almost, right? And now I go and I take and I smooth it off. Is that a melacha deraisa? No. Since it is soft, and you smooth it, you shape it, that is a toilada, that is a melacha derabbanon of mimareach. So if it's hard, it's deraisa. If it's soft, it's midrabbanon. Now we know, anytime something is only midrabbanon, automatically there are going to be leniencies. So here, that's what he says. Here, he's talking about these examples. He's giving over here all examples of things that are only midrabbanan, because a retia, a dressing that's underneath a wound, is automatically it's a gel. It's something which is soft. Wax is soft, and zephes is soft. These are soft things. So taking these things and rubbing it and causing it to expand and to smear it upon a surface is at best the malacha derabanan of mimareach. And there are major exceptions to this rule. Number one is the malacha is only when you actually you scrape it, you smooth something to a certain to apply it. But let's say you smooth something so that it should become absorbed on the surface. For example, Vaseline. Take Vaseline and you take a thick gel Vaseline and you smooth it. You smooth it onto your flesh. You don't want it to be smooth. You want the Vaseline to basically disappear. It becomes completely absorbed, not completely, but by and large, the item is no longer smooth. It's absorbed in your skin. That is not even a malacha derabanan. And some, therefore, are very makel. It's not advisable because not all the time are you going to smooth it out to a degree where it's completely absorbed. But technically speaking, that is low. That's not even a malacha derabanan because you're smoothing it for the purpose that it should be fully absorbed in your flesh.
Why the Torah not to make a gazera that Shamar people, since it does that, he might come to attack and be money for something else?
You have to, the Chazal didn't shoot from the hip. They didn't just make gzeiros and every single thing. There are certain things that are also, there are certain things that are similar, there are certain things that are mutter. If it's a hard surface like leather and you smooth it or a piece of wood, that's derice. If it's smooth, a gel, and you're spreading it out, that's only midrabban. That's why a soap. The reason why we don't use soap on Shabbos, a bar of soap, is because it can even be a deraisa. So the liquid, so Rabbi Kiriviyati writes that the liquid me ikar hadin is mutter. Even like the thick liquids. He says because it's just too liquidy. Even the regular standard liquid soaps that we have in this, that we buy in this store, they're too liquidy that should be in the category of mimareach. For whatever reason, we're makbid that it should be even more diluted than it is commonly sold. So that's why you can buy special Shabbos soap. He even says that on Shabbos you're allowed to dilute it. So if you only have on Shabbos regular standard dishwashing soap, which is semi-thick, which in his opinion is not called thick at all. Right, the cheap brands, yeah, right. But if you have the good quality dishwashing or regular soap, you're allowed to dilute it on Shabbos itself. You can take some out of the container and you can add water and let it sit. You can even mix it, and that way, well, when they're mixing, you have to be careful. You can mix it. It seems like you can for sure add water, and you can mix it, and you have diluted it. And now, once it's diluted, you can smear it on your hands. That's no longer called mimareach because it's been reduced to something that is extremely liquidy. And if it's extremely liquidy, that does not even resemble anything similar to the malacha of mimareach, the isa midrabanan of smoothing. There's another very important exception, that is when it comes to foods. Foods, there is no prohibition of mimareach. Now, the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah make a number of exceptions, which does not present over here. It's only true in regard to foods that are edible the way they are. Peanut butter. Okay, today it's already a scandal to have peanut butter. I don't know what happened in this generation. We used to have peanut butter sandwiches, but now everything, allergies, so it's sakonis nefashis for certain individuals. So, but let's say peanut butter. So if you go and you want to take peanut butter, you want to smear it. You want to. It's pretty thick. Peanut butter is thicker than any type of liquid soap you're going to have. So peanut butter, why is it permitted to go smear the peanut butter on a piece of bread? First of all, it's a food. Now the Ramah says just because it's a food is not an excuse, we would still be machmer. The reason is because it's edible the way it is. Even if you were not to smear it and smooth it out, it would also be edible. You could just take it right out of the jar and eat it. So that combined with the fact that it's a food, it's mutar lechatchila without any question to smear it. However, remember our Mishnah Berurah says that if the only reason why you're smearing it is just for mare, icing on a cake, right? You want to make the cake look nice, and you have a thick every cream, and it just makes the cake look nice. It's not there for any purpose of achila.
Sure.
What? Okay, but the primary purpose is making the cake look nice. The Mishnah Berurah says you should be machmir, you should not smear icing on a cake for the first time on Shabbos, because it would be a violation of mimarech. It's a chumrah. It's not an ikar hadin.
So you have to put sprinkles on top, which spoil the icing.
Why is that going to help? Putting the sprinkles, it's still going to be thick.
Then you're saying the mimarech is not you want it. You want the mimarech should be a vase for the sprinkle. You're not doing the mimarech because you want it to make smooth.
I don't know. I don't know. It's still mimarech.
For a baby,
for if you're smearing it of like Vaseline,
yeah, Vaseline,
and it and completely gets absorbed into the flesh, that's mutter. If it's thick like a diaper rash cream, he says no, you don't rub it in. You let it apply it with a thick coat. So a thick coat is mimarech. So the solution is you dab it on, and then you take a band-aid or you take some type of whatever, well, even the diaper, and you just put it right on top of it, and you let it just on its own as the child moves. You let it spread out, and if there's excess which comes out from the sides, that of course you can wipe off, you can remove that. He just points out that when band-aid, this is a side point, a person puts on a band-aid on Shabbos, you should not wrap the band-aid upon itself. Because wrapping the band-aid on itself is like toifer. It's a toilad of toifer and kosher. Since when you tie a knot. So
no, we said that you could even wrap it around.
But when it's stick, since there's glue, there's adhesive, and it stays and it's very tight, it's not proper.
It's not a permanent glue.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's meant there to stay for more than 24 hours, and it's not going anywhere, and it connects onto itself. That's part of the malach of toifer and kosher.
Velcro doesn't make a difference. It'll be just as awesome.
Velcro, why wouldn't Velcro be different? Velcro, maybe the whole essence of Velcro is that it's meant to open and close. Velcro is not meant to be something which is permanent. A Band-Aid, as long as the Band-Aid is in existence, it's going to be closed. When you open it, it goes in the garbage. Velcro, the essence of Velcro is open and close. It's not meant b'chlal to be something permanent. A Band-Aid, you're going to keep it on. The Band-Aid.
Also, Velcro is not closed. You're plastic.
So what? You're connecting two things together.
I don't.
So plastic, a band-aid is plastic.
A band-aid is plastic.
That's why it should be easier.
Okay, he says that when you put on a band-aid, you should not put the band-aid on itself. Riviat. When a band-aid is put on Shabbos. Okay, but the band-aid should be put on the adhesive part of the band-aid should be put on the flesh. It should not attach onto itself on Shabbos. Of course, that's where it's possible. If it's not possible, sakana, infection, of course, all the rules change. But generally, now, I made a mistake last time. I told you that you're not allowed to squeeze it out of the tube. He discusses that. Why is squeezing out of the tube permitted? When you squeeze a gel, when you have a gel inside of a tube and you squeeze it, you're causing the gel to be squeezed, to be moved. He holds that's a davar shein mischavein. And it's a psik reisha delo nichalei, and it's only midrabanan, so hold its mutter. There's no issue whatsoever of squeezing the tube to cause Vaseline or any type of lotion to come out of the container. The only problem is once it comes out of the container and then its application upon the skin or upon an item, that will be problematic. And now the other thing he mentioned over here is what it says the Mishnah Berurah, sometimes there are other problems. If you're taking wax and you're using wax to close a crack, let's say you have a nagel, you have a utensil or any type of utensil and it's leaking, you want to take some wax and you want to smear some wax with chewing gum. He always gives the example of taking chewing gum and sticking the gum onto a hole. That, in addition to the problem of mimareach, you're shaping something, you're expanding something, you're shaping something, can also be boine and make bepatish. When you apply something to a utensil or a davar that's mechubal lekarka, you always are getting involved in these two issues, boine and make bepatish. So that's basically it's very toothpaste. So pulling it out of the tube is mutter, and putting it on the brush and smearing it so it gets dissolved. It is getting dissolved. It's not, but it's really no different. It's really no different than the soap. The soap also is going to get dissolved. The soap, you know, I think it's like soap. Just like soap Toothpaste l'chor is just, he doesn't talk about it, but I'm assuming it's just like soap. When you take soap and you smear it, you want it to be smeared so that it cleanses your hands. Then after it cleanses your hands, now you wash it, you completely remove it. That's not similar to Vaseline, where you put it on and you rub it and you want it to get absorbed. You don't want to remove it. You want the thing to disappear. Soap, you want the soap to be applied across your entire hand. That's smoothing out. A small substance of soap is being expanded and spread out. Toothpaste, the lechor, is the same exact thing. You want the toothpaste to expand and spread out all over your teeth in order that you can properly clean it. Then you rinse it. It's the lechor, no different than soap. The same way you
clean your teeth on Shabbos.
What? No, Shabbos, you may not use toothpaste.
But you toothpaste, said no problem in
toothpaste is well, was no problem with what? There's no problem when you need. There's no problem with getting the toothpaste out of the tube.
Okay.
Because you can ask that when the toothpaste is removed from the tube, you're causing it to be smooth as it is removed from the tube. Inside the tube, it's in one shape, and as you press the tube and cause it to be removed, it's changing shape. It's being smooth. It's being transformed. So why should that not be a problem of memachik? He says because the davar she'ena mischad. It's not my intent. My intent is just to remove it from the tube to outside the tube. And if in the process it's going to be squeezed and moved, that's not my intent.
Well,
it's a davar she'ena mischad. It's a psikre. Even though you'll tell me it's a psikreisha, but it's a psikreisha lo nichale. And since transforming a smooth substance is only an issur min derabbanan, it's not an issur min haTorah. Issur min haTorah is only when you smooth a hard surface.
Okay.
So it's only midrabanan, and a davar she'ena mischavin, even if it's a psik resha, as long as psik resha lo nichalei, for a purpose, a permissible purpose on Shabbos is mutar. So if you want to wash your hands, washing your hands on Shabbos is permitted, and you have a gel soap. Here's a simple example of a gel soap. You're not allowed to use a gel soap, but I can dilute the gel soap. So I can squeeze the container to extract some gel into a utensil, and then I can put this utensil under the faucet and fill it up with water and then shake it, and that will dilute the gel into a liquid soap, and then I can use the liquid soap to wash my hands. So the only possible violation that I've done is when I've squeezed the container to remove the gel from the tube. That is a davar she'ena mischavin on a melacha de rabbanon for a tzarech Shabbos is mutter.
So when does the issur kick in when you say you can't clean your breath?
Toothpaste.
You can't because when you apply the toothpaste to the brush, if I squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube and I apply it to the brush, on the brush now there is a gel. And when I start rubbing it on my teeth, I'm causing that gel to expand, to be smooth, to be spread upon my teeth. And when it's spread upon my teeth, that action caused my teeth to become cleaned. That is also that action of spreading it, expanding it, smoothing its shape is awesome.
What about powder?
Even with a finger?
Is powder soap or powder toothpaste?
But that just turns into a gel.
It does it? You take some.
And you take a lot of water.
You take some Comet on your hands.
And you put it
under the water. Right away.
Look, people, mouth. What about you? Brush your teeth with mouthwash. That's mutter.
They have liquid
toothpaste.
They have liquid toothpaste.
Some people use hatchil the whole entire week.
Right.
They have. Let's say people do. They have a special. There's another issue of uvda d'chol. You're supposed to have a Shabbos toothbrush. An actual toothbrush is not going to cause blood. If the gums are very delicate, this is what we learned yesterday. If the gums are very delicate and it's going to cause blood to come out, that's a talad of shoychet. And if you know it's going to happen, you're not allowed to do it. So you have to have a special brush that's not going to cause blood to come out. So, and it should not be uvda d'chol to speak of Shabbos. And you're not allowed to use the toothpaste. You use mouthwash or some type of Shabbos toothpaste, which basically is just a liquid mouthwash type of thing.
Okay.
You can rinse your mouth, of course. You can rinse your mouth with
toothbrush.
Yeah, of course. A toothbrush with water, but has to be a special toothbrush. A special...
There's no question of
schita from the fibers?
It's plastic.
It doesn't matter. Schita, even if it's plastic and water gets caught in between the fibers, even by synthetic material, it's also schita. We will machmer on that. It doesn't have to be cloth under a microscope where the water is absorbed in the fibers. Even if it's synthetic and the water is not absorbed in the fibers, but the water is trapped in between each individual microscopic fiber, and extracting that water is also a gather of schita.
So you're not going to shake the toothbrush off after you've finished rinsing it? Is that the idea?
No, you can shake it off. You can't.
Where does the schita come in?
If you have a toothbrush that is the all different types of toothbrush, we all know, you go into the pharmacy, you're overwhelmed with a billion toothbrushes. If you have a toothbrush where they're very, the fibers are very close to each other, and water is trapped inside, and when you press it, it's going to cause water to squeeze out.
While you're brushing,
that would possibly be schita. You have to use a toothbrush which is very loose.
But certainly, after you rinse it off, you're not supposed to shake off the water.
You could shake it off, but you can't press it. You can shake off the water, the excess, but to start pressing it would be schita. Would definitely be, it's no different than shaking out a brush.
I really have to be able to use a toothbrush. All toothbrushes.
It's malabe and what?
All toothbrushes.
Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know. I gotta go look it up.
Well, we have the scrunchies also. There's no sweet of better scrunchies. It's made for that. It's synthetic. It doesn't absorb.
It's not a question of absorption.
Well, I don't know.
I know what it's going to be, but
the sweetness
is not a question of absorption.
Let's do a few halachas.
If you have a special shmata that you don't care about, there's also no gzer of sweetness.
I know, but you use it to push again, don't you? So you do care about it.
Well,
in other words, you can't do it with your finger.
You don't throw it out.
No, you cannot do it with the fresh water.
Just put a lump in your tongue.
No, you can't do that either. No, not either. Anytime you take a gel and you smooth a gel on Shabbos is aser. If you're taking the gel and you're smoothing it so that it should get absorbed in your flesh, that's smooth. But if you're only smoothing it temporarily to accomplish a task, and then you want to remove it, soap. Just think about soap. You have a gel soap. You're smoothing it, and the process of smoothing is what cleans your hands. But I don't want it. I don't want the sticky stuff on my hand. Now you rinse it. You want to get rid of it. That's awesome, because when you smoothed it out, it was not to get absorbed. It was to accomplish a task. Okay, let's do some more halachas. Halacha nun tes. Also lishbar elachta. Called davar shein demachal. Now we discuss this mechatech, the malach of cutting. You're not allowed to cut something in a precise size or shape, because that is makeh bepatish. To make a toothpick on Shabbos is also. If I have a piece of wood, a splinter, and I want to cut it in a very precise way so that it should be the perfect toothpick, I'm making a utensil on Shabbos that's either boineh or it's makeh bepatish. Also, lishbar elachtech kol davar she'enei machol. If something is not a food, you're not allowed to break it. Avol ma shehu machol. But if you have something which is food, there's no prohibition of mechatech with regard to foods. Afil rak lebehema mut. Even animal food, if you have an animal that you're responsible to feed, you are allowed to prepare their food on Shabbos. If you have pets, if you have birds, you have fish, you have dogs, cats, these things, you're allowed to prepare their food on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to feed an animal that you're not responsible. That's why on Shabbos Shira, there's all this discussion. If you're allowed to put out the food for the birds on Shabbos itself, you're not responsible to feed the birds. So that would be forbidden. To break a piece of straw to use as a toothpick. Why? Because it's animal food. Since this is not muksa, it's animal food, there's no prohibition of cutting on Shabbos. The atzei besamim, mutal limlol v'liktoim kidei l'harich b'hem. If you have pieces of wood and you want to produce fragrance, you're allowed to break the piece of wood in order to bring forth their fragrance on Shabbos. That's called a food. Fragrance for your benefit has the same status of a meichel. Da'afilu heim koshim ke'etz. The reyach is already no. Mola reyach is only to heat, I think. Only when you put on something hot. No, that you're changing. That's moila, because you're changing it from a liquid to a mist. You're changing states. Here you have a piece of wood. You're just cracking the wood, and that causes the reyach to come forth. So that is davar shein bei mamish. What have you done already? You've done davish and mamish. The only problem is mechateh, since it's for your benefit, it's a bodily pleasure, reyach, it's like ochel, and the takon of mechateh was never put in place. Mechatech in the Mishkan was by the hides. All these things are extension of the hides. They cut the hides in very precise sizes to fit on top of the Mishkan. So when you cut something for a very precise size, it's awesome. But food is not similar to the Mishkan. The Mishkan, they were cutting hides to cover for shelter, not for the purpose of eating or deriving pleasure. Okay, in the case of spraying air fresheners, that's a shalav moily because you're going from a liquid to a mist. And some hold it as mutter. It's not categorically aser to spray air fresheners. Some hold you can do it on Shabbos. You are allowed to do it on Shabbos. Different opinions. What? Well, no, that's no, it's not. That's a whole different thing. Grashol is a muksa. That's a whole different concept. That's a muksa. This is an issue of moilid. You're changing something from a solid to a gas. I don't care, a gas, but I mean, it's a what is it?
It's a spray.
Spray. So, what is a spray? A spray is a. It's a different form. It's a different form. From our halacha always follows human perception. Doesn't follow the microscope. From human perception, I have over here a bottle of a liquid. It's pressurized. It's pressurized, and I spray into the air. It turns into air.
What if?
Deodorant, yeah, deodorant, you're allowed. That's the same exact shaila. Deodorant also is scented. The problem with deodorant, those people who allow you to spray air freshener on Shabbos will allow you to use deodorant. The other issue is fragrance. It causes you're not allowed on Shabbos to leave. It's part of the talad of libun to give fragrance to your clothing. So it's like applying a perfume on Shabbos. So that's why people who use
ladies who put on perfume put it on the body, not on the clothes.
They put on that's why it's advisable to use non-fragrant deodorants. Yeah, of course,
fragrant free.
The old day salad.
Sure,
I have a lot of dolls at home. Fragrance-free deodorant, all different brands. They all make.
And the aroma-free,
the roller you can use.
What? Okay, let's see. Also, lishpor lechatech.
Let's have an answer to that. If you have a stick tube of deodorant,
yeah,
it's mamre.
Memareach? No, it's not because it's liquid. It's a gel. I'm not familiar with that type. The type that I'm familiar with is it's all liquid. It's just a plastic. It's the plastic. But if you have a gel, they have such things as gels. I don't think they have
gels.
What?
Solid
yo. We actually that would be memareach. That would be awesome. That would be memareach. I'm familiar with. I don't know. They have a plastic dome.
Right,
yeah. And then
the dome picks up the liquid.
So that's not mareach. That's all liquid. That's all liquid. But if you tell me there exists a hard gel, no, that's mamish mareach. That's mamish mareach. That'll be awesome. Also, lishbar lachta kol davar shenish machal al b'mashu hu b'machla filu rakam machal behem olachim mutal lachta kashul chatz b'el shilaf. The atzei b'sam mutal lim l'mol v'tem k'dei lo b'chem. You want to go take a piece of cinnamon or tie a piece of wood that has spice and crack it a hadas in order to produce fragrance. But to take a piece of wood which is not fit for animal consumption, not fit for human consumption, and to break it in a precise size so that you can pick your teeth as a toothpick, that is also. There's no excuse. That's mamish makebapate shaboyne. I am fashioning a kli on Shabbos. That it's also, well, is it muksa? Well, but over here it has a fragrance. If this thing I can use now has fragrance, it's not muksa. If this piece of besam, this piece of wood is something which I use for besamim, so then it would not be muksa. But now I want to take it and want to use it not for the purpose of besam. I want to use it to make a kli, so that would be aser. And here, this to go so far and say that since it's fit, it's not a food. If it's mamish, a real food, I've had it before with kash, where it's fit for animal consumption, I want to go cut it in order to make a toothpick, then you can be makel because there is no din of cutting when it comes to foods. But this is not really a food, so if you want to produce fragrance, that you can do. But to cut it to make a utensil, that he holds would be usur. Okay, now we go to a new halacha, the halacha of flower pots. A tree. Before you get to a flower pot, that's the next halacha. I'm sorry. First, to about trees. You're not allowed to make use of a tree on Shabbos. A tree that's attached to the ground, whether the tree is alive, whether it's dead, as long as it's still attached to the ground, you're not allowed to use. You're not allowed to sit down on the branch of a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to lean against a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put down your clothing. If there's an area, if you want to go put something down on some of the branch, you're not allowed to. The even though you don't cause it to shake, muksa is only also when you cause something to shake. See, the rules of a tree are much more harm than the rules of muksa. Muksa, you're allowed to touch. The only thing you may not do with regard to muksa is to move, but you're allowed to touch, and you're allowed even to put something on top. If you want to go, I want to rest something on top of a muksa item. I have a hammer, and I have an electrical device, and I want to go and put down my keys on top of it. It's mutter, as long as I don't cause it to move. But a tree, even though you're not causing it to move, is more chomor, because there's a concern. Once we allow you to put something on, touch the tree, you might come to actually cut off a branch. A muksa, even if by mistake you would come to move the muksa, it's only also midrabbanan. You're not doing anything in technically midatara. But a tree, if you were to cut off a branch from the tree, you'd be doing malacha deraisa, so therefore you're not allowed even mishamish the tree to do something permissible. V'api shen manida. The manida, balaf achi iko iser muksa. If you're moving the tree, so then you have a problem muksa. Ain oilim, therefore. Ain oilim bo. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. V'ain nitlim bo. You're not allowed to hang something on a tree. V'yoso liyach alav eisichem. If you're allowed to go put something on the tree. Oy milito menu, take something from it. Oy likshar bo behema. To tie an animal, the bow. You're going with taking your dog for a walk on Shabbos, as we discussed, in the permissible way, and then you want to go stop off by someone and you want to go tie your dog to the tree. Right? You're not allowed to tie the leash to the tree. You're not allowed to make use of something which is coming out of the tree. If there is a peg, there is a long nail that has been thrust into the tree, you're not allowed to hang something on that nail. The nail that's coming out of the tree is called a tzadim. But you're allowed to make use of the tzadeit tzadim. For example, let us say there is a basket that is hanging from the tree. Also, little ezadava mitoichasal. You may not take something out of the basket, because the basket is directly suspended from the tree. So the basket is called a tzadim. By taking something out of the basket or putting something into the basket, little ezadava have tzidode ho'ilon, and that is including the chumrah of making use of trees. Aval, the only exception is tzidode tzadim. If the basket is not directly connected to the tree, the basket is connected to a nail that is connected to the tree. So the basket now is what's called the tzadeit tzadim. Avul im yosad takua b'ilan. There is a peg that's thrust into the tree. The olive, and upon this peg, tolit sal, muta litl oilitain l'soichin. Mishum the oz have a sal tzadeit tzadim. The asal oz likach mishum oilitain l'soichin. But of course, you now want to suspend the basket on the nail, or remove the basket from the nail. Mishum the mishtamish b'yes the yaseid, because then you'll be making use of the peg, and the peg is to have a tzadei hilan. Okay, now next halacha. What?
And the tree doesn't move because of the
tree. Well, that's, he says, a given. If the tree is moving, forget about it. That's muksa. Yeah, if the tree moves, anything that you do to cause the tree to move will be forbidden because of muksa. We're dealing here with a tree, a massive tree. It's not moving. Nothing is moving. It's still also to be mishtamesh shpilin. Again, it's not like muksa. Muksa, you're allowed to be mishtamesh with muksa as long as you don't cause it to move. You're permitted to take something and put it upon your cell phone. I have a cell phone, and in the cell phone, I want to put my keys right on top of the cell phone. Go right ahead. Put the keys on top of the cell phone, as long as you're not causing the cell phone to move. The cell phone is what? No. Tell cell phone is a muksa machmas isser. It's muksa machmas. Let's say you have something.
You have a cell phone.
A swing or swing is muksa on the swing. A swing is meant to move. It's not muksa.
No.
Cell phone is
supported by a hammer.
A swing. Oh, you're right. A swing that is attached to a tree is also clearly also.
But it,
unless it's not like,
it's attached to a peg. If it's not attached directly to the peg, so then it's mutter. That's stardei, it's stardei. As long as it doesn't move. If it's a very strong tree, it's not going to move, it'll be mutter. That's stardei, it's stardei. Hammock is attached, and if the hammock is attached directly to the tree, it's also, if it's attached to a peg that's coming out of the tree, and the tree is not going to move when you lie in the hammock, it would be mutter. It's exactly what it says here in the Salach. Now we go to the case of moving a... You have a tree, and you put a peg. You take a long nail. Let's say this is muksa on Shabbos, right? A tape recorder.
You have a cell phone, you say.
Cell phone, right? Cell phone is muksa. Why is it muksa? It's a klit shem lach d'lisa. What's the? You always have to know what the definition is. What's the definition? Why is a cell phone asa? It's a kli shem lach d'lisa. It's used to do an avera. Okay. What avera? Speak lashon hara. No internet. My cell phone has no internet. Not because I don't want internet. It's because it's cheaper, right? Simple. No religious reasons. So you have a cell phone. The cell phone is a klishe machtaliyasar. Let's say on Shabbos I want this, I'm outside and it's blowing in the wind. Right. Blowing in the wind. Am I allowed to go take the cell phone to put it on top? Absolutely, yes. 100% of paperweight, a kli shemalach l'isr is mutter l'tzaruch gufay umukaymai. If I want to, use it for a permissible purpose, it's mutter. If I want to go use it l'tzaruch gufo, I want to use it to hold up my gemara, right? I want to use it, let's say I want a little shtender, right, for my sefer, so I can use it as a shtender l'tzaruch gufay, right? I can do that. Shabbos is going to take the cell phone to go like this to hold up the sefer to raise it. Let's say, then there are things which are worse, that it's muksa machmas iser, machmas atzmoy. For example, a rock. Let's say I have a rock, a big rock, a brick. So what is the brick? It's muksa machmas atzmo. It's not a utensil. I have no. There's no function. It's a building material. There's no function. That is also afilu l'tzarech gufay oy mekayman. Both of these examples, let's take the worst type of muksa, the brick. There's a brick, like there's a brick, and I want to put my keys, my Shabbos keys, on top of the brick. Am I allowed to do that? Make believe these are my keys. Am I allowed to do that? 100%. I have made use of muksa. Whoever said you can't make use of muksa on Shabbos? The only thing you can't make use of is
a tree stump.
It's not a tree. A tree stump, I'm not sure it's the same thing as a tree. A tree stump could be that it's part of the ground. Yovish, maybe you're right. Right, exactly. The only reason why you're not letting it.
I'm asking is when you put that key on top of the cell phone, is there a chance that maybe when you move the key off, you might just move the cell phone?
You have to make that assessment. If you assess that it's so delicate, when you move it, it's going to move, then you're right, you're not allowed. Because then you're moving muksa. You have to make that assessment. But when it comes to a tree, even if you make the assessment that it's not going anywhere, it is massive, it's not going to move one iota, you're still not allowed to put something on the branch of a tree. Satakonas chazal, it's a gzeiro, you may come to pull off a twig. So you're asking the question, what about a dead tree stump? I don't know the answer.
Only if it's mechubuk.
It is mechubuk karka.
If it's not
mechubuk, then it's a kli, then it's like a chair.
In other words, you take it. Yeah.
Or it's muksa machmas atzmo. It's like a rock, I don't know if it's not, if it is no chashash, if it's not even shaykh for you to go and take off a branch, even if it's dead, a dead tree still has branches you can cut off. But if it's a tree stump, I do not know if it's included in this gezer. It could very well be that it's not called a tree anymore. It's called an extension of the ground. You're allowed to walk on the ground, no? You know, the ground you're allowed to walk on. There's no chash, you're going to pull off a blade out of the grass. How am I allowed to walk on the street? I walk on the street, I might come and pull off a blade. The chazal didn't go so far. They only did not allow you to put something on a tree, because a tree, there's a likelihood once I'm touching the branches.
In the country, in the between the trees where the little trees grow.
You could definitely walk. Where does it say you can't walk?
You have to
make sure you don't do the kavana. You don't do it with intent. You walk. You do the best that you can. If it happens to move, it's a goof. It's a tiltle shalai kederech. Even muksa, you're allowed to move it. You're allowed to move it shalai kederech. So if you're walking in a place where there are branches and it's in your way, and you accidentally move a branch, there's no question that it's mutter.
So why are you allowed to walk in grass on Shabbos? Maybe.
Exactly, because Chazal, because the halach of muksa is only a chumah midrabban, and Chazal did not require you to do ridiculous things on Shabbos. There is no such halacha that you're not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch does it say such a thing. What?
Maybe
you'll
tell
they weren't concerned about that. Okay, let's just one more halacha. One more halacha. Klisha zarin by mina asav oy shoshanim. Linoi oy lahariach. Also, lilosh menu kamoshas lilosh menoyim. If you have a flower pot, and the flower pot, even if the flower pot does not have a hole, let's say the flower pot is in a steel container, and it's certainly not nourishing from the ground, but the branch is nourishing from what's in the pot itself. You're still not, so it's not mechubal karka. It's not mechubal karka. You're not doing the issur deraisa of toilesh. There's no question about it. I'm not pulling anything out of the ground, but you're still not allowed to pluck off a flower or a branch or a leaf from anything that is growing and its natural source on Shabbos. Sometimes a kli shezarim by mine asavim, grass, oishoshanim, flowers, linoi for beauty, o lehariach for fragrance. Also, and in this kli, we assume at this moment of time this utensil is self-contained. There is no hole, and it's not a material that's porous like wood or kli chares. So it's completely self-contained. It is still also litlosh menu kmo, just like it would be also to take something out of the ground. Out of the ground would be nisa deraisa. This would be an isra midrabanan kmo she also litlosh menu ilan utzichum zor shlo l'tatlo me al gabi karka lahamid b'mokim acher tekeva. Now he's discussing it, and this part is discussing something very specific, dealing with a tree which has a hole. If you have a flower pot and the flower pot is resting on the earth, or it does not have a hole, but it's made from wood or made from cheres, or even if there's a hole on the side of the flower pot, there is an assumption that in this situation the flower pot is absorbing nutrients from the ground. So when you move, when you pick up the flower pot, even though you have not done a physical separation, you've not taken anything out of the ground, that is still called toilish. You're removing something from its source of nourishment. So therefore, you can't move the entire flower. Since this flower pot, in this situation, has nourishing, in this case, it is growing from the earth. In Cain, hanoyloi misham, if someone who takes it, havikimo toilesh, it's as if you are separating from the ground. Let's say you have a tree, you have a flower pot that's resting above ground, high up, and you put it on the ground, it's like planting on Shabbos. Also, lidlo lamidei al karka mishum debezeh havikimo zoyreya, utzich lezebuchol ze bein shuhu shal eitz, bein shuhu shal cheres, bein shuhu nokov, bein shay nokov, whether it's made from wood, whether it's made from cheres, whether it's nokov of it as a hole, whether it doesn't have a hole, because if it doesn't have a hole, sometimes there's a hole on the side, or sometimes it's a very small flower pot and it can still be nourishing from the ground. So a person should basically be careful not to move flower pots to the ground, not the ground. Now, however, on the other hand, if the flower pot is on your dining room table, it's not muksa. Flowers are not muksa on Shabbos, and you're even allowed to add water to flowers on Shabbos. The only thing you can't do on Shabbos is to completely change the water. To take out all of the old water and put in new water.
Do that to your lulav.
That you can do, but you're allowed to add, replenish, yeah. If it needs more water.
If you go a small vase and you want to change the water. So
no, you can't completely change the water.
I'm not saying completely change.
But you can add. You can take away some of the water and new water, and you can move it. It's not muksa to move flowers from table to table. But if you have a plant, a real plant that's growing, not in soil, not flowers, that's already a different category. That already is much more problematic. even moving it around, well, it depends. You're not going to really have earth. Plants that are growing in flower pots are more problematic than flowers. Flowers, there's no problem. But
in a flower pot, if you have a tree and you're using it to feed animals,
you got problems. Anything, anything. I don't know.
If we're talking, it's not connected. You have, let's say, grass.
Okay, let's just do this. Few short she'odim some halachah. Let's finish up this page. Ba'al gavi akarka ayin b'minchas on the bottom. B'minchas patim the tatla levad mutar afilu ema ha'otzitz nokov to move a flower pot. You're allowed to move it. Afilu even if the flower pot is nokov. Ha'inu kishnizu boy asavim or ilan b'pachas migmut tvachim. That's only if it's less than three tvachim. Avol kishgadal sham ilan shagova gimel tvachim osl tatla mishum demishamish b'mukhuber. If something is very, very small, that's a flower pot, and the thing that's growing, like they have these science projects, and it's very, very small, it's less than three tefachim, then you can move it around on Shabbos, as long as it's not attached to the ground and it's not being given from the ground. But once already the flower, you have a plant, and the plant is more than three tefachim in height, so that's already the plant is called, and it's a real plant, not a real plant that grows in soil, even though it's not attached to the ground, that's already called mechubar midrabanan, and that you're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos. See, now that already becomes muksa. The ayin b'pri begadim to befakfik b'zei imutul l'tatlo. The ayin b'tferes yisrael the same as shaila kalkela Shabbos. The begamkein cost of the osel tatlo. Plants cannot be moved on Shabbos. The ayin b'mishne buro the gamkein osel tatlo. Again, plants cannot be moved, but flowers can be moved. The ayin b'mincha Shabbos shehili mi. I don't know what that stands for. The mutl tautl mikarko lanicha bechazor gabi karko v'sim divada the royal lahachmer kedim pugadim. He brings a makel that a plant can be moved on Shabbos, but again it says that you should be machmer. Okay, we will stop over here. Well, tomorrow we'll start koisev. Okay, koisev is a whole category to.